Well, welcome back. Of course, that track is Billy Jack, which is, of course, a Curtis Mayfield tune. But that was, of course, not Curtis Mayfield. That was Mr., or shall we say, Dr. Philip Bailey from the great Earth, Wind & Fire. And Philip joins us today to talk about why the heck it took him 17 stinking years to release another solo album, which, by the way, is called Love Will Find a Way and releases June 21st. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of Matlock, Philip Bailey.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Seriously, dude, you're on Matlock? Are you kidding me?
Funny, right? Yep, I got killed. I was a soldier and got killed.
Not cool, man.
And then they had friendly fire, and so they had to figure out, you know, like, okay, who did it? Who done it? It was one of those who done it.
Who done it? But dude, seriously, 17 years? Like, why you got to be like that? 17 years.
Well, I think it was probably a matter of working. But you know what? I did some recording things, you know, but my own, and I put them out and stuff. So this is really in 17 years a project that's, you know, that's released on a major label.
Rolling Stone said, Bailey puts a dark soul spin on Billy Jack, transforming the reggae-tinged original into a brooding groover that mixes West African influences with orchestral flourishes and even takes a turn towards the psychedelic. That might be the longest sentence in the world, but it also, I want to know if you feel that's an accurate description of Billy Jack.
Wow, you know, that's a Robert Glasper arrangement and co-produced, and yeah, the African influence is definitely accurate. Then I think that when you think about the fact that we also wanted to make sure that we had that orchestral flow in there, that's accurate. And then when he says psychedelic, there's a psychedelic solo on the outro.
That's true. No, I thought it was a really, really, like, bang-on description. I was impressed. Whoever wrote this article in Rolling Stone said, Bailey imbues his falsetto with a potent mix of tenderness and pain as he croons the murder ballad. Dude, I need to take, like, smooth lessons from you.
Smooth lessons.
Smooth
That's
lessons,
good.
yeah. Okay, 4 dates at City Winery touring this album. Is that right?
Yep, and different facilities.
So June 3rd in Atlanta, June 5th in Washington, D.C., June 6th in Nashville, and June 19th in Boston, all at the City Winery, which, by the way, Graham Nash, Nora Jones, Leanne Womack, they've all played the City Winery circuit. So now Philip Bailey jumps to the top of that list, and those other people are going to say, who? I don't know who those people are. Philip Bailey, oh yeah, he played there. Okay, I got it, yeah.
Man, you know, I wish we could get to Canada.
Yeah, hello. Well, y'all coming up, y'all, I don't know, all of a sudden I'm from the South. Y'all are coming up to Casino-rama this summer, Friday, July 12th at 9 p.m. and Saturday, July 13th at 8 p.m. I'm going to be there at one of those gigs for sure. You know, the last time I was there, I went with this movie star and hockey player power combo wife-husband duo thing to see Earth, Wind & Fire. And I went with my wife and the four of us. I'm an awkward white guy when it comes to anything, but especially when it comes to dancing, I suck. I'm like Elaine from Seinfeld. That's how bad I am.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I usually sit during the whole thing and people get up and dance. Whatever, that's fine, you know. I was on my feet for 2 stinking hours at this concert, and my butt was shaking something like it's never shook before.
So that means that you enjoyed it. That's great.
I'm saying it was pretty phenomenal. Anyway, so you guys are going to be back for that. Let me ask you this, Philip. Other than Curtis Mayfield, who else would you put on your list of great falsettos?
I really thought that Eddie Kendricks had a great falsetto, you know, from the original Temptations.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound false.
So nothing worse than a false falsetto.
No, because, you know, some people like that sound too, because, you know, like a lot of the doo-wop, I'm not going to mention names, but a lot of the doo-wop groups, you know, really coined that whole sound with those falsettos that sounded false.
Yep.
You know,
yep,
when you think, yeah, so, you know, it depends on your own, whatever you like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I always wanted to utilize my, because I'm a natural baritone, so I always wanted to utilize the full range of my voice. And fortunately, you know, like on this record, and with Earth, Wind & Fire, but on this record, Level Find a Way, you know, I'm doing that. I pick songs that I would be able to, use the full range of my instrument. We did a song of Marvin Gaye's called "Just to Keep You Satisfied."
Mm.
That's on there. But I'm so proud of the project. It's self-funded. It's one that was inspired by, you know, the times that we're going through. So we chose songs that would help people, you know, remembering those great songs that really helped people through struggles. Along with myself, Chick Corea, Christian McBride, Robert Glasper.
Yeah, you even stole James Taylor's drummer, Steve Gadd.
Man, you know, I hadn't seen him in so long. We did that session in Clearwater, Florida, but down there with Chick, and as they were working on a project of his. But it's a fun project that I'm very proud of, and look forward to everybody getting a chance to hear it.
Yeah, again, the album is called Love Will Find a Way. And you were even to snafu a guy who's going to be coming on the show in a couple of weeks, Will.i.am.
Oh, yeah.
What role did he play in this? Because there's a guy that leaks positivity as well.
Well, you know what? We took a song that we originally started in New York with Christian McBride, and I spliced it up and just edited it and came up with just left the bass and the kalimba. Me playing kalimba and Christian playing kalimba. And then I put a djembe on it and some percussion, and I gave it to Will to splice it and make it, you know, make it the rhythm jump.
Hmm.
And then once we did that, we gave it to Christian Scott, the great trumpeter, and that's how we came up with Stairways to the Stars.
When you're interviewing people, you got to say stuff like, well, I'm really looking forward to when this album hits the streets. I don't think I've ever actually said that unless I'm really excited about the album hitting the streets. And this is one of them, man. I mean, just forget the all-star lineup that you've got working with you on this. But, you know, I've been a bit of a creepy fan of yours for a long time. And, you know, your fans, they're starving. You know, they've eaten less than Justin Bieber's fans. You know what I'm saying?
That's funny. Well, you know what? The one other thing I'd like to say, I have a foundation called Music is Unity, and you can learn more about that if you go to musicisunity.org. But it's a foundation that benefits emancipated foster care youth. Those are youth who are aging out of the foster system. And Earth, Wind & Fire, myself, we support them, and tickets. Proceeds from our ticket sales go to the foundation to help these folks make those transition and support them in ways that, you know, family would. Please go to musicisunity.org to learn more about it and to support these wonderful kids.
Okay, so that's a great sort of public service announcement, but help us hook into that more, because you know as well as I do, Philip, there's a million charities out there. What makes this one different?
Well, you know, it's a very underserved charity, cause. You know, when you see people walking down the street and they're 16 16 and 21 or whatever, and they don't have any outward disabilities or whatever, you know, you just take for granted that, okay, these, you know, they're okay. But you don't know if you know, like many of these kids find that, you know, without the support, they're given, you know, their belongings in a paper bag and put out on the street once the system stops paying a lot of these homes. Hmm. And so, like, they can find themselves, you know, like, you know, on the wrong side of the track in so many different ways, you know, dumpster diving and living under, you know, freeways or in jail or prostitution. And there's a lot of different things, and they're in that place by no fault of their own. Many times, sometimes their parent died, sometimes their parent went to jail, sometimes they were just abandoned, you know. But you know, they, you know, there's a great need, you know, to identify with the causes of these young folk who find themselves in those situations for no fault of their own.
That's good. You know, my friend Kathy Lee Gifford started a place in New York a long time ago, Cassidy House, I think it's what it's called. Cody House or Cassidy? Anyways, you know, she's got two kids, and she's really got a heart for the kids who are like the, you know, the infants, the children that are struggling. And so here comes you guys helping the kids that are a bit older. And it's funny, we do look at those kids, you know, like you said, they're just walking down the street and maybe they're dressed kind of hip-hop, whatever, you know, and we kind of go, oh, they're fine, you know, they're like punks or whatever, you know, you don't care about them as much. They really...
Or you don't even think about them.
No, no.
Are you right?
Yeah. Thank you for doing that. That's good. I was a bit of a rat bag as a teenager and ended up living in the streets of Toronto for a very short period of time. And it was because of people like you with charities like this that I was able to get my act together a little bit. So thank you, man. I appreciate that, Philip.
Well, thank you.
Man, I can't believe it's been 3 years since Maurice has died. Maurice White, of course, one of your greatest mentors, battling Parkinson's. 3 years. Where did that go?
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's been a while, but he suffered with that for over 20 years. And, you know, it was, but he's, you know, he was courageous, you know, with it, was, you know, still did as much as he could do, you know, all the way through. So, you know, yeah, his legacy will never be forgotten.
Philip, was there ever a time that you and Maurice fought like the brothers you actually sort of were?
Oh, I mean, we definitely had times where, you know, had time where, you know, we were not as close and where, you know.
But I'm saying, you know, you're two creative dudes who were together so much, you must have bashed heads.
Well, never about, you know, just in the normal course of things, you know, as everybody grew and changed and all that kind of stuff, there were times that, you know, the relationship was strained, but not in the horror fashion of, you know, like some of the stories that you hear, you know. So, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's real good. As far as your, you know, your spiritual journey, I actually think I probably first really hooked into you when you broke out and started doing some gospel stuff. So it was always kind of back in my mind, Philip Bailey, oh yeah, there's a guy that digs God, you know, or there's a guy that, you know, is on this spiritual journey and stuff. And like most of us, man, like I spent 30 years in the evangelical tribe, but I don't know, man, I'm not there anymore. My faith has gone from being a noun to a verb because I'm not certain about as much as I used to be.
Okay.
You know, so I've really kind of morphed and changed over the years. And I was just wondering if you've had any kind of curves in your spiritual journey as well.
Well, interestingly enough, my faith has grown over the years. I mean, I put my faith in what Christ did for us and, you know, years ago, you know. But interestingly enough, as I have grown, and I, you know, I'm a, you know, avid studier of, you know, the Bible and, you know, and traditional teachers.
Yeah.
But yeah, as time has grown, as time has gone on, my faith has gotten stronger. I'm more certain now than I was when I, you know, back in the day.
Really?
Very much so.
Was it a real turning point, the night with Billy Davis and Marilyn McCoo? They were a guest on the show a number of years ago. Really love them. But was there some event that you did for them that really kind of, I don't know, turned your spiritual vibe around?
No, we did it in a bit together, you know, myself and them and Denise Williams and Leon Patillo and
Oh yeah.
You know, a bunch of other people called Jesus is Jesus at the Rock on Sunset here in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Years ago, and did a production, you know, that was you couldn't find a seat. We did it two nights in a row on two shows a night, and then we started that, and then later started a Christian Entertainers Fellowship, you know, Bible study and stuff like that. But so that's how me and Billy and Marilyn know each other.
Right. So, okay, I've talked to James Brown about, you know, the influence gospel's had in his life, and B.B. King, of course, and a lot of the older black generation. I don't know how to say this without stepping on some kind of politically incorrect landmine, Phillip, so just bear with me on this one. But a lot of the older black entertainers have a real reverence for the spiritual side of life. However, not all of them go on to live, I don't know, healed lives of integrity. I don't even know what that means. But what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, you got someone like Whitney, who was just embedded in the church and grew up in the church, and it was such a part of her life. And then she just struggled so, so hard right until the very, very end, you know? And then you got like Sly Stone, who he had some church stuff in his background, and last thing I heard, he was living out of his truck down in L.A. somewhere. I hope that's different. But so I don't even know if there's a question here other than, how did you get to a point where your life didn't tank? I mean, because your success went through the freaking roof. So how did success not absolutely smoke your faith?
All right. First of all, this is a conversation that probably needs to be a long version of another conversation. But there's a big difference between being religious and knowing a lot of things, you know, and knowing, you know, being very religious, coming from a religious background, you know, throwing up the you know, the name of Jesus in church or whatever, and how, having all the, you know, black church antics or whatever,
yeah.
knowing how to navigate through that whole thing because of your background. It's a world of difference in that, and actually having a relationship with Christ in a way that's life-changing, life-altering, and life-giving. There's a difference between, you know, light and darkness in that whole situation. There's just, you know, so there's a lot of you know, of people that have experienced, you know, church in some kind of way. Well, but I'm not talking about that.
No.
You know, I'm talking about, you know, a real connection that is viable and that is, you know, that is moment by moment. Yeah. you know, and that grows like with any other relationship that you have with someone that you grow closer to and get to know and understand and love more and more as you know more about them and understand them and you know, become more ingratiated to them as you see their, you know, their promises to you as continuing to be real and true.
Hmm.
You know, so, you know, that is, you know, that's what I'm saying when I say that my relationship, my faith in God, in Christ, has become stronger over the years. Because, yeah, man, I probably, you know, I mean, I've lived that life where you probably would wonder and gone through stuff where you probably go, you know, you probably, you know, raise the eyebrow, you know. But in years, God has never let me. He's never let me go, and so His sustaining, you know, hand has always kept me in a way that I've, you know, grown to to be more certain of his presence.
You know, that sounds like God gets the props, not you.
That's right. No question about it. I mean, there's no question about it. It's like God totally gets the props, you know, because he's held me. He's kept me.
Yeah.
You know, even when you don't know where you are, he knows where you are.
Yeah. Man. Well, let me just before we say goodbye to the one and only, you know, I kind of feel cheesy about saying that, but I think I'm going to keep saying it with you. The one and only Philip Bailey. Before we say goodbye to Philip, I want to remind everyone he's releasing this album June 21st, Love Will Find a Way. What's going to be the easy lover track off this album?
That's funny. You know, there's so much beautiful music on here, and I'm so humbled that these great musicians and artists came alongside of me to make this music. I'm looking forward to people getting a chance to get to hear it and go on social networking and let everybody know what you think.
There's no way you can still hit the high, whatever the heck it is. It's got to be harder as you get older to hit those high notes. Because as far as I know, Philip, it's the bass singers that seem to end up lasting the longest from any of the famous quartets that I know. Like Armand from the Imperials, he lasted the longest. Bill Gaither, you know, Bill Gaither is like 173 years old and still can hit those notes.
Well, are you coming to the concert at Rama?
Yes.
You'll see.
Man.
Yeah.
Friday, July 12th at 9 p.m. and Saturday, July 13th, 8 p.m. That's at Casino Rama, one of my all-time favorite places to go see gigs. Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'll be the awkward white guy in the corner trying to shake his booty. Come say hi to me. And Philip Bailey, of course, who is who we've been chatting with. Philip, what a real privilege to chat with Grammy winner and the Tiger Woods of soul, Mr. Philip Bailey. How's your golf game?
Hey, it's coming along, and that's what I was thinking about when you were saying that, because I'm going to definitely, you know, weather permitting, I'm going to definitely get out and hit the sticks.
When you come up to Rama?
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. Well, there's some good courses up here, man. Some really good courses.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
No question.
All right, dude. Listen, you have a great week, and we'll see your face in July up here.
Okay, looking forward to it. Thanks for the interview.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it, man. You take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.